What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Hour number two. The phone lines are still open. 800-313-9443. Let's talk about the economic news because, frankly, there are some areas of concern. And again, Barack Obama is out there trying to create his legacy about how the economy recovered under his watch, and that absolutely is not true. According to Pew Research, the middle class shrank during Obama's 8 years in office. And there are two factors at work there. First of all, the middle class is where the disposable income is. So as people start grabbing and you must buy this and you must buy that and we're going to raise your insurance rates, that tends to preferentially burden the middle class. The second one is, if you look throughout history, all tyrannical governments try and destroy the middle class because it is from the middle class that opposition to oligarchy arises. They tried to do it in revolutionary France. They certainly did it in the Soviet Union by designing a system where there was no middle class allowed. And we're seeing the middle class under attack here in the United States because it is from the middle class that opposition to the current regime, the establishment, has been rising. So it may be intentional. Now, the reality is, despite Obama's claims that he was presiding over this wonderful economic recovery, right now, 69% of all Americans have $1,000 or less in bank savings accounts. And frankly, with negative interest rates on the horizon, even that's too much. But it basically says Americans don't have any economic resiliency. They are one disaster away from being homeless. We're all standing on thin ice right now. Now, yesterday we reported how Citigroup had cut their recommendation for Goldman Sachs to sell. It turns out there's a little tit-for-tat going on there because apparently Goldman had cut Citi to neutral. Now, the bank stocks are still skyrocketing because everybody understands that the Federal Reserve is still creating money out of thin air and pouring them all over the banks. So they just want to get in on that action. But it looks like we're starting to see the Wall Street firms actually go on the attack against each other. A little bit of a war using the ratings as the weapon. Oh, they're less secure than we are. You want to bring your money here. So if they're now starting to fight amongst themselves over the available remaining wealth out there, that's a sign that we're getting really close to a break. Out in Los Angeles, the city is being forced to borrow $70 million solely to pay out liability payments for wrongful arrests, people injured, or families of those killed by the police. And this is going to cost the city about $9 million per year just in the interest charges. And basically, the city has used up their reserve fund for all these high legal payments to victims of police shootings, wrongful convictions, and so forth. Well, maybe instead of going deeper into debt, you might want to rein in the wrongful shootings, the wrongful convictions. You might want to get the police under control if you want to save some money, rather than simply burden the taxpayers that much more. Now, the World Bank Group is out there analyzing Donald Trump's proposed tax cuts, saying it will boost economic growth. And that's not too surprising. We saw the same thing with the Reagan tax cut. Remember the big, famous Reagan tax cut? He slashed taxes, and all of a sudden the economy lit up, became much more productive, more products are going out, more wealth was being generated, and government tax revenues actually increased because of the boost to economic activity. And why the liberals don't seem to recognize that lesson, that taxing the people more and more and more harms the economy, shuts it down. And we're hovering at the edge of a lockup as it is. What you have basically is this upside down U-curve between economic activity and tax rates. And you want to be kind of in that middle area. But the more you tax, the more you're dragging down to that that part where the government is simply taking everything that's being produced, taxation, fees, civil forfeiture, ransomware, and there isn't enough money left in circulation to run the economy. We're already there. We're already there. There isn't enough currency in circulation to have the economy functioning smoothly. Everybody's waiting for somebody else's check to clear. And all we ever hear from the bankers are, well, look, we're willing to give you a credit line. We're willing to loan you more money, increase the degree of slavery. That's not what people want. People don't want more loans. People want a system in which they're able to trade their labor for decent wages and salaries, which they will then pump back into the economy at the shopping malls, car dealerships, and so forth. That's what makes sense. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about Trump's proposed tax cuts and how they might actually stimulate the economy a lot better than all of this stealing money from the American people and pouring it all over Wall Street, which hasn't done anything but stimulate Wall Street. And they're already overstimulated. I think a good analogy of an economy would be a pickup truck going up a hill, and it's got some rocks in the load bed. Now, the rocks represent taxation, and the strength of the engine represents the functioning economy at its best. But part of that energy from the engine is used up by the engine itself, by the transmission, by the brakes, and so forth and so on. So there's an upper limit to how much of a load you can put on that truck. One rock too many, and the engine will start to stutter and stall. And that's a real good analogy for what we're seeing right now. That the money junkies are taking so much wealth out of our system that the economic engine is beginning to stutter. Now, resource investment expert Rick Rule is addressing something that is lurking behind all of these economic discussions. Right now, the U.S. has $120 trillion of debt plus off-sheet liabilities. And that's not counting state and local debt and underfunded pensions. It's huge. And Rick Rule is saying that the only thing that's going to happen, that can possibly happen right now, is the U.S. will devalue the debt and devalue the dollar. And what they mean by that, the short version, is the U.S. government is simply going to inflate the debt away. We owe you $100 trillion. Okay, crank, 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 crank. Here's $100 trillion in ink and paper. And, of course, that will result in a loss to you of real purchase power with the ink and paper you already have. Creating new money out of thin air is just another way of stealing from you, the American people. And many countries have gone down that road before of simply inflating the debt away, Zimbabwe being one of the more recent offenders. And like so much else in government policy, it's good in the short term. It works until the next election. But in the long term, it is not a solution. It's just kicking that can down the road yet again. And at this point with the U.S. economy, they've kicked that can down the road so much, it's beginning to look like a used-up gun wrapper. Just a little bit of silver foil is left. That's all there is. Now, down in Mexico, the protests over the increase in gas prices are getting out of control, still not being acknowledged by the American corporate media. Don't want us American slaves getting uppity ideas. But apparently there are now areas in Mexico where the government has actually been ejected, and people are talking about Mexico being on the brink of an outright revolution. It's been so out of control that the border crossing at San Diego has had to be closed several times this last week. And it could happen here. We've seen it in South America. Now it's moving north. Now, a lot of people were disappointed with Donald Trump because he campaigned on the repeal of Obamacare. And then after he was elected, he started sounding more in a compromising mood. And he began to look at various alternatives, things that they could do to fix it, make it a little bit better. And everybody said, well, see, he's already breaking that campaign promise. Well, apparently nothing that was presented to Donald Trump seemed to pass his business acumen. Because now he's back to saying a full and immediate repeal of catastrophic Obamacare, and it was. Now, obviously, provision is going to have to be made for all those people who were forced to give up their current health insurance policies to go on Obamacare. And with Obamacare gone, their health insurance companies may not want some of them back who are dealing with chronic illnesses or serious illnesses. Obviously, if you're perfectly healthy, your health insurance company will welcome you back. So we have to make sure that we don't abandon people who've already been victimized once by Obamacare and victimize them a second time with the repeal of Obamacare. Other than that, I'm wholly on board of repealing Obamacare and letting us go back to either a system in which health insurance companies have to compete for our business, which is better for the consumers, or a well-managed single-payer system, like maybe they have in Canada or France. But even those can have problems. We were reporting yesterday about this big stink over in Great Britain, where apparently during the year 2015, 800 patients died partially as a consequence of hunger and dehydration. They were in these NHS health hospitals, and they weren't being adequately fed. They weren't being given adequate fluids. I think maybe going back to the neighborhood doctor and getting rid of all of this gigantic overhead, because that's where a lot of this cost comes from, is all of this gigantic overhead. Doctors today spend more time filling out paperwork than they do seeing patients. Certainly wasn't the case when I was a kid. It needs to be drastically simplified. But again, medical care in this country has been transformed from being about medical care and health to plundering people who are chronically ill, often made so by some of the other aspects of our civilization. Toxic food additives, vaccines, the occasional dropped test tube over at the bioweapons lab, and so forth. Now, there's another article on this very same topic over at patriotrising.com basically saying that Obamacare is very much like the war in Vietnam. It simply cannot be won no matter what you do, and the choice is end it now and deal with it, or try and drag it out even longer where the costs of ending it will be that much more. Now, over in Europe, where George Soros is trying to assemble the first stepping stone to his new world order of everybody blended together, apparently over in Great Britain, actually, there was a nurse who was apparently on her way home, and she heard what she thought was somebody crying for help in a park. And she walks in to render assistance. She's grabbed by five men who are described as being of African appearance, who beat her unconscious and then raped her. So how's that cultural diversity thing working out for you over there in Europe? Apparently not too well. There's been a survey done in Great Britain about the British identity. How do British people see themselves? And to nobody's surprise, they're finding that more and more Brits are seeing themselves in terms of their patriotism to England. Less and less of them see themselves as part of this grand European Union. And the numbers are surging more towards a nationalist fervor. We're seeing nationalism emerge all over the world in response to all this globalist nonsense. We're seeing it here in the United States. We're seeing it all over the European Union. People are dealing with all of the economic hardships of these global or transnational private central banks. And they're saying, we cannot be responsible for what's happening in other countries. Although in the case of the United States, clearly our government is responsible for the wars in all those Middle Eastern nations that made those people refugees. But that's kind of a separate issue. Donald Trump is right. Make America great. We need all of us, all of the American people, to put America first, second, and third. And anybody who doesn't want to go along with that, anybody who feels that we should be subservient to that foreign government over in Tel Aviv, is free to leave this country anytime they want. Because we can't afford them anymore. We can't afford all of this vast sums of money pouring out of our pockets into a foreign nation that doesn't really need the money and tends to spend it, first of all, bribing our own government to keep the flow of money going, and to purchase weapons with to inflict mayhem on their neighbors. Now, a little bit of good news coming out of Europe. Hungary has now started a crackdown on all George Soros-funded organizations. And basically, apparently, they were waiting for Trump to go into the White House, because apparently Obama was intervening with Hungary, saying, no, don't you do anything about Soros. And, you know, we're all behind Soros and his plan to create a one-world government and a single golden throne for planet Earth, because I want my turn sitting on it. And now with that interference and restriction gone, Hungary, and this is a dramatic blowback against the globalist establishment, they're going to crack down on these George Soros organizations. Russia's already kicked them out, because the world has come to understand these George Soros organizations are not about charity, they're not about making life better, they're about bringing individual sovereign nation states into this single global empire. And this single global empire is not being done for your benefit. It's being done for those who will rule it. A single global private central bank. A single global government. You know, I find it very amazing that you read history books about Alexander the Great. What an amazing man. He conquered all this part of the world. And then you dig a little deeper and you find out what life was like for the ordinary people in all of these places Alexander conquered. Or for that matter, in the Roman Empire. And you find out it wasn't really very good, wasn't very pleasant. And if there's one way that history has cheated us all, it is the portrayal of tyrannical empires as somehow being a good thing for everybody involved. And it most assuredly was not. Now, Obama, in his farewell address, called on white Americans to acknowledge the effects of slavery and Jim Crow because it didn't suddenly vanish in the 1960s. And remember, the racism in the 1960s was an artificial construction of the FBI's COINTELPRO program, just like it was for Hillary's campaign this last year. And nowhere in this whole speech about how we have to accept the effects of slavery and feel appropriately sorry was there even a mention of that mentally disabled white guy tortured by the four blacks up in Chicago. The agenda clearly is blacks can do no wrong, all white people are evil. No, we're not. We're not. And the most important thing that we can all do right now is to resist this idea that we all somehow share a collective inherited guilt for things that happened before we were born. That's one of the most powerful psychological enslavement tools governments use. Israel uses it all over the time. I wasn't born during World War II. The vast majority of you listening to this show were not born in World War II, and still Israel says you have to pay us because of what we tell you happened in World War II. No, we don't. We're not responsible. We had nothing to do with it. Our responsibility is to deal with the evils that are happening today in front of us, evils that we can do something about, evils that we can bring to an end. That's where our focus should be. All this stuff about reparations for things that happened centuries ago, it's nonsense. It's just another excuse for somebody to hold their hand out and say, gimme, 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 gimme. We'll be right back.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to take a phone call. Tony in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I was calling. I was listening to your talk with Richie Allen the other day, and I would have to agree with you, I'd say, on 90-95%. I like Richie Allen. I just think, you know, his expectations are a little bit unrealistic. You know what I mean? I understand where he's coming from, but, you know, Trump is only one man. There's still Congress. There's a lot of things he has to go through. And, you know, people talk about Trump's appointments, but all those appointments need to get approved by Congress. So, you know, some of the appointments he would have liked to have gotten approved would never have gotten approved. You know, they were talking about Dana Rohrenbacher from California. He would have been a great Secretary of State, but there's no way in hell he would have ever have gotten appointed. So that's another thing. That's one of the things. The other thing, too, is, you know, domestic policy. You know, I know Richie looks at foreign policy. I think, you know, good relations with Russia and Syria are positive. Obviously, Israel, I don't think it's realistic to have much change there. But, you know, domestic policy such as trade and immigration are issues, too, that were relevant to the American people. I think that was another issue you didn't, really bring up. So, on the issue of Israel, there's not much that you can really say about that. I know here in Toronto that 75% of the Trump hotels are owned by an Israeli-Russian businessman, and Trump said before that he has, you know, business dealings with the Israelis. So there's not going to be much on that. But, you know, if he can make even some changes on the other issues, I think we just got to take that as a positive step. We're not going to get 100% of what we want. But like I said, we have to be realistic. And I doubt this. I know he's appointed a lot of Iran war hawks. But I really doubt there's going to be a war in Iran. I know he's talked about scrapping the deal, but I think Trump is smart enough not to start another conflict. And if he, you know, if he really wants good relations with Russia, I doubt starting a war with Iran is going to do that. And if he, by any chance, did start a war with Iran, that would completely destroy his legacy. So I think he's smart enough not to do that. Yeah. I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I want to go back to the first thing you said, because you raised a very excellent point, because a lot of us had people that we wanted to see in the Trump administration. Trey Gowdy is attorney general. But you brought up a very valid point. When Donald Trump is looking at people he's going to appoint to his cabinet, he had to take into consideration whether or not Congress was likely to confirm. And that had to be a major, major factor in terms of putting together his cabinet, that's probably something that a lot of people haven't talked about before, is that Trump may well have wanted Trey Gowdy for attorney general, and in communications with the leadership, they came back and said, absolutely no way would we confirm. So that may be a big reason why Trump's appointees do seem to be so many insiders, because those are the ones he knew he could get confirmed, and that's a very good point you raise.
No, absolutely. I don't know why people haven't brought that up. And I know McCain and Lindsey Graham have already been on top of a few of the appointments, already pretty much saying, yeah, we're not going to appoint this guy and that guy. And there's, I think, I believe the Secretary of Defense was somebody that he didn't get the guy he wanted in either, because he was already told by Congress that there was no way he was going to approve that. So, yeah, it's a fair point as well. And I guess just one last point. I know you guys brought up InfoWars in regards to Israel, and obviously the rhetoric, you know, with Israel lately, which has been, you know, disturbing. You know, we know that, you know, Alex has always supported Israel, but I think now it seems that InfoWars is really connected to the Trump campaign and the Republican Party. I think they've created a closer connection. That could be a reason why maybe he's, you know, talking positively about Netanyahu. That could be a reason. I don't know. But unfortunately, that's another thing that won't change. But that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And again, you're right. People should have been raising the issue of Trump's desire for cabinet positions and officials constrained by his awareness of whether or not Congress would confirm. And that had to be a major, major factor as well. As far as Trump's closeness with Alex Jones, Alex is a major figure within the independent media. Trump understands the independent media was very much on his side. And so it is inevitable that Alex Jones' personal biases regarding Israel are probably going to cross that bridge to Trump as well. But as I told Richie Allen, and I've mentioned on this show, I think a lot of Donald Trump's views about Israel and Palestine are shaped by what he sees in the corporate media. And even though he now knows the corporate media is duplicitous, he hasn't gone through the exercise of looking back over the years and saying, what else were they lying to me about? But I think once he actually interacts with Israel's government, I think his enthusiasm is going to decidedly cool. We got to give him his 100 days. Let's find out. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
About 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work 14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store without having to stop and rest. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office, and he says, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. "If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it?" That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Obama, in his farewell address, mostly talked about himself, what a great guy he is. And he made a comment about white people having to accept the effects of slavery and Jim Crow laws, stuff that happened before we were born. And he brought back the racial tension of the 60s, which we know was intentionally fanned up by the government using COINTELPRO to keep us divided and at each other so we could not unite in opposition to the war in Vietnam. And they fanned it up again last year, thinking that if they could convince the black people that the whites were out to get them and evil, that the black people would all vote for Hillary Clinton. Didn't work out. Even the leaders of Black Lives Matter came on out and said, "Hillary Clinton is saying exactly the things we want to hear, and we have absolutely no reason to think she will ever keep any of those promises." And that was a big part of why she lost. She's not seen as trustworthy. It's got nothing to do with Russia hacking. What do you think? Russia snuck into Hillary's room at night and hypnotized her and said, "You will not be trustworthy. You will not be trustworthy. You will not be trustworthy." But again, Obama failed to mention that very ugly incident in Chicago where this group of black people live streamed the torture of a mentally disabled white person. And the liberal media was quick to cover it up and say it's no big deal. Even the Chicago police were saying, this sort of stuff happens all the time. It's no big deal. And the outrage caused by the video resulted in finally the court saying, yeah, you're right. It's a hate crime. And the judge is not releasing the perpetrators on bail. And CBS Radio News actually phrased the story in a way to imply the victim was black and the perpetrators were white. Didn't come on out and actually say that, but it was definitely, in the way it was worded, that's what people would have concluded, trying to figure out what was being said. Very, very dishonest here. Still trying to sell that idea that all racism comes just from white people, all the violence is coming from the white people, and it's simply not true. Even the FBI's crime statistics don't back that up. Well, apparently another video has surfaced showing one of these black attackers, Tasfea Cooper. And he's basically pointing the gun directly at the camera and saying things like, boom, put a bullet in your white skull. Now, again, I think this is an after effect of that entire year of Black Lives Matter and race baiting and just trying to create a serious racial division in this country to benefit the Hillary Clinton campaign or to keep us angry with each other and not paying attention to the government. And both of those agendas have failed. But now we're living with the after effect of this policy. And it reminds me of that story about how when Donald Trump got elected, all of a sudden teachers all across the country were dealing with absolutely traumatized pupils in their classrooms because for the entire year they'd been propagandizing the kids about all the horrible things that were going to happen if Trump became president, what a monster he was, he was evil, he was this and he was that, in the hope that the kids would go home from school and say, at school they taught me this about Donald Trump and you've got to vote for Hillary. And that also did not work either. And so the election comes and goes, Trump wins, and all of a sudden these kids who don't understand their teachers were feeding them a big heaping pile of USDA choice bovine excrement, they're now in a panic because they believed all these things that they were told about Donald Trump. And now we have the same thing happening here where we've had an entire year of black people being told you're oppressed, you're being discriminated against, the white people hate you, violence is your only response, Baltimore, Trayvon Martin, all this other stuff. And now we have these kids who are out there who absolutely believe everything they've been told about white people. And that's how we get these videos. That's how we get these kind of crimes. If we ever needed another Dr. Martin Luther King to heal this racial divide, we sure as heck need one right now. Unfortunately, all of the, you'll pardon the expression, leaders of the black community are compromised. Now, getting on down to that shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport, it continues to be a very, very bizarre story. Apparently, this guy had been interviewed by the FBI. They'd taken his gun away from him because he was claiming the CIA made him fight for ISIS. And apparently, he did at one point. Let me scroll on down here. Where the airport shooter did convert to Islam and took the name Ashiq Hamad years before joining the army. And then for some reason, the FBI gave him back his gun. And he hopped on the plane and he went down to Fort Lauderdale and he just started shooting. We're now hearing from the shooter's former girlfriend that the VA knew he was suffering from mental illness. He'd gone to the VA saying there's something going wrong in my brain. Maybe they tried some experimental drugs on him when he was over there in Iraq because the Army likes to do that. Use the soldiers as guinea pigs. And the VA did nothing. The VA went out and spent money on artwork for their front lawn. So if you really want to have somebody to blame for the shooting outside the shooter himself, who is obviously to blame, the VA, because they're neglecting these patients. And it's one thing to neglect somebody who's lost an arm or a leg and they're basically static in their home. And quite another and more dangerous thing to be ignoring all of these veterans who return from the war zone with their brains seriously messed up from all the drugs that were given to them. We had a caller into the show who'd served in Iraq saying that the Army was passing out prescription antidepressants like they were M&Ms. The Pentagon is actually spending more on medication for the troops than they are on Black Hawk helicopters. And these things are very addictive. And if you go to SSRIstories.org, you will find all these reports about how ordinary, perfectly healthy, rational people can all of a sudden just flip on out on these medications and do the most bizarre things. A great part of our current problems may be because the United States has become a nation that is drugging itself into insanity and aberrant behavior. We did our own little analysis here and showed that coincident with the market penetration of prescription antidepressants into our society, which is about one out of every four people now, there was a marked increase in incidents of domestic violence because these medications interfere with impulse control. You can just get an impulse in your head and you will go with it. There's nothing to stop it. That may account for the surge in things like pedophilia. You get a moment of lust for a child and you just go with it, where normally you wouldn't. I know finally people are starting to seriously look at the issue of vaccines and autism, and I'm just delighted that Donald Trump appointed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to head that commission. But I think we also need to take a really serious look at prescription antidepressants. I mean, there's no question they're being over-prescribed. One quarter of the American people can't be clinically depressed. It's just a big moneymaker. And as long as profit dominates the process of medical care, we're going to get high prices and poor medical care. And that's where we are. American medical care is the most expensive on earth, and it's ranked something like 33rd in quality for all that money. Now then, over in California, they passed a law saying that it would be up to the prosecutors who work for the government to decide whether a police officer who kills someone should be charged with a crime. Now, up until that point, the law had been, and it is still the law in the other 49 states, that a secret grand jury looks at the evidence and decides if the police officer ought to be prosecuted. And California decided, well, we're paying way too many lawsuits for wrongful shootings and everything, so we're going to take the grand jury out of it, and it'll be up to the prosecutor to decide if the police officer will be charged. And if the prosecutor says, no charges, that's the end of it. The police officer goes back to work, no lawsuits, no settlements, no fines, and so forth. That's their solution. Well, apparently, the state appeals court has declared that law unconstitutional, basically saying it actually violates due process, saying that these decisions have to be made by a grand jury. Now, up in New Hampshire, live free or die, they're starting to talk about permitless carry of firearms. Now, this is nothing new. Vermont has always had permitless carry of firearms, which is one of the reasons they have one of the lowest per capita murder rates of any state in the nation, as opposed to places like Chicago, which is held up as the example of gun control success by the gun grabbers. And they've got huge numbers of murders. And now we're hearing that even those numbers may be underreported because it's got a huge embarrassment for Mayor Rahm Emanuel and for the gun grabbers. Because history has always shown when law-abiding citizens are allowed to carry weapons, crime goes down. When the law-abiding are disarmed, crime goes up. There's never been an exception to that. So that's something the corporate media and the gun grabbers need to hide from you. Now, New Hampshire is starting to talk about repealing the need for a permit to carry your own gun. Maine has already done it. I think it's a good idea. If just one of those people at the Fort Lauderdale airport had been carrying a gun, there'd be only one dead person instead of five. And we're actually starting to see a big pushback where states are now talking about allowing teachers and even students to carry on college campuses and in shopping malls. Get rid of those gun-free zones. We were talking about one state is considering a law where if a business declares itself a gun-free zone, that business would be liable for any harm caused by an armed intruder on those disarmed customers. And I think that's a good thing as well. And, of course, the gun grabbers are going to say, well, if everybody's armed, it's just going to be like the Wild Wild West. Well, that might not be a bad thing, because the Wild Wild West was nowhere near as wild as you have been told. Yesterday, we were talking about the gunfight at the OK Corral and how Hollywood has always portrayed it from Wyatt Earp's perspective, because Wyatt Earp actually went out to Hollywood and served as a technical advisor for the early silent film cowboy stars like Tom Mix. The reason we remember the OK Corral was it was very unusual. I mean, if it happened today, it would be lost in the newspapers amid all the other drive-by shootings and everything going on out. It wouldn't be considered newsworthy. It was newsworthy back then because that sort of thing really did not happen. Do you know the main reason why cowboys wore guns in holsters? Because if your horse threw you and your foot was caught in the stirrup, you would be dragged to death unless you had a gun immediately available to shoot your horse with. That's where the gun holster thing came from. Along with, of course, the necessity to every once in a while shoot a rattlesnake. The reality is much of the myth of the Wild West was propaganda. Because when the West began to open up and homesteaders were heading on out there, it began to drain the labor force from the Eastern industrialists' factories. And there wasn't anything they could do to stop it. So they started hiring writers to write these so-called dime novels about what a terrible place the Wild West was, and there were bushwhackers and all this other stuff out there, and you, if you risked your life and that of your family if you went out there, the marauding Indians. And yes, there were some confrontations and crimes, but nothing on the scale of what you saw going on in New York, especially during the draft riots. Compared to the big eastern cities, the West was quite peaceful, and that had to be hidden. So the Eastern industrialists, in order to scare their workers from leaving their jobs to go out west, mounted this propaganda campaign about how wild the West was and people were being gunned down all the time. But it wasn't really that way. Because the fact everybody was carrying a gun, there actually was very little violence. And by the way, you know that iconic image of the fast draw gunfight on Main Street? It never really happened. Nobody has ever found an historical record where two guys just stood at opposite end of the streets and waited for each other to twitch and then drew their guns and fired. It's as phony as a lot of the samurai stuff you see coming out of Japanese cinema. Even back then, during the 1800s, we were being lied to manipulate us, to make us more useful to the wealthy, to the money junkies. Now, I'm obviously very pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment. 2017 may be the year of the gun, where there's a pushback. I think everybody ought to be familiar with the handling of firearms in order to handle them safely. When you hear of an accident where somebody's accidentally shot themselves or somebody else, it's always somebody who's never been taught how to handle a gun properly, who thinks guns are still toys because, you know, they used to sell them as toys. Where I grew up, you got your first gun on your 12th birthday, and with it, the lecture on gun safety, which was the second religion in our community. And the first time you misused that weapon, you would get a trip to the woodshed, would keep you eating dinner standing up for at least a week. So gun safety was taken very, very seriously. We used to take our guns to school all the time. It was no big deal. Put them in the cloakroom. Because on the way home from school, we were all stopping off at the farm fields to varmint them, chase out the critters that were eating our crops. And that was just part of life. There were no mass shootings. In fact, the entire time I lived in that town in New Hampshire, there was only one incident with a gun which appeared to have been a botched suicide. That was it. Nobody mishandled weapons. But nobody's going to know the proper way to handle weapons unless we stop this fear campaign of an object and start saying, this is what a gun is, this is what it can do, this is how you make sure it's not going to go off in the wrong place. Going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help with the need you might have. Health of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
When all this twists, was swept away. Did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
And hello Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, coming up on the top of the hour. And I want to continue on with this gun issue, because I think it should be apparent to just about anybody that all of the gun laws and restrictions and registration and all the rest of that aren't really working against crime. Certainly those gun-free zone signs do not deter mass shooters. If anything, it's an open invitation. Come on in. Have fun. Nobody's going to fire back at you. It's just another excuse to create a bureaucracy for tracking the American people, for tracking the law-abiding citizens. Because, let's be honest, criminals and terrorists don't register their weapons. Gun control is not about controlling guns. It's about controlling you. Have you ever noticed the government's obsession with what they call assault-style weapons? Even though those kind of weapons are rarely used, other than these staged mass shootings used to sell the idea of a ban on assault-style weapons. Most gun crime involves throwaway guns, stolen guns, very simple revolvers, or very, very cheaply made semi-automatic pistols. But the focus is always on those assault weapons. Now they want to have everybody provide ID and register just to buy ammunition. It's obvious what they're doing. Each one of these new regulations is a screaming confession that the U.S. government understands they've pushed the American people to the point of a rebellion. And that's what all this gun control nonsense is about. They don't care about crime. Crime justifies spending more on police. The Second Amendment is about giving teeth to the other nine amendments in that Bill of Rights. And that's what the government's afraid of. We've been hearing politicians, including George Bush, dismiss the Constitution as a blankety-blank piece of paper. In their minds, they want to transition this nation into something more along the lines of, you do what we tell you, you believe what we tell you, you know, give us your money, give us your children, and otherwise just shut the heck up. And that's not what America is supposed to be. And I find it absurd to hear people like Barack Obama just rail about these military-style weapons. And by the way, they're not really military weapons. They don't have full auto or even three-fire selectors on them. They're semi-automatic. They just look military-ish. Because that basic AR-15 concept is very flexible. It actually makes for a weapon where you can change accessories very quickly. You can even change the caliber of the gun. All of which is about shooting for target sports. That's what I use my guns for, putting holes in paper. But they're scared. You can feel it in the wind. They are afraid. Going to take a break for station identification. Back with our third hour after these few words.
Your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.